Last week, we looked at Nehemiah. Talked about how the folks in Israel had been exiled in Babylon. And then Persia came and took over Babylon. When Persia came and took over Babylon, they sent home those Israelites. Nehemiah started thinking about what it was going to take to rebuild his city. So we talked about Nehemiah taking that third group of people back home to begin rebuilding the wall and reestablishing the city. Well, I want us to look at another Old Testament prophecy this morning that deals with that same time period, that same course of events. The people are returning back to home after being in exile. And Isaiah has had the difficult task of being the prophet who had to share with them some very bad news. He had to tell them that God was going to punish them, that they had rejected God. But at the same time, Isaiah gets to be the prophet who shares some of the best news ever heard. It is in Isaiah that we hear some of the great news about the Messiah who's going to come. And so in Isaiah, we see kind of both sides of the story. Yes, the people of God have rejected God and have turned away from Him. And so God is going to allow them to undergo some punishment to kind of wake them up a little bit. But on the other side, Isaiah gets to say, but God loves you, and He's going to take such great care of you. He's going to send you a Messiah. And the passage that we're going to look at this morning is on that more positive side, if you will. The message of hope and love, that regardless of the circumstances in which they found themselves, they could rest assured that God still loved them and was going to take care of them, particularly a promise as they rebuilt their city. So look with me in Isaiah chapter 66. We're going to begin at verse 12. Isaiah chapter 66, beginning at verse 12. Thus says the Lord, behold, I extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall be nursed, you shall be carried on the hip and fondled on the knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. And you shall be comforted, not in Babylon. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. A promise, you will go home. You will reestablish your town. You will rebuild. A promise of God to His people. I have not forgotten you. I still love you. I will comfort you. And in the way He presents that powerful message to His people is by showing them an example, a picture, if you will, of a mother's love. Mother's Day is the perfect time for us to be reminded of how God chose to use a mother's love to depict His love for His people, how He was going to care for them. A mother's love is an amazing thing, isn't it? When folks were asked, who is the one person who has had the greatest influence on you, you know what the number one answer was? My mom. Well, not my mom, but each person said his or her mom. Abraham Lincoln said, all that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother. Dwight L. Moody said, all that I have ever accomplished in my life, I owe to my mother. Napoleon said, let France have good mothers and she will have good sons. Powerful love of a mother changes our lives and directs us, comforts us. And so God chose that picture to show us His love. I want us to look at the pictures represented in this text. First picture that we see is a mother nursing her child. You see that in verse 12? Thus says the Lord, I'll extend peace to her like a river, glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. You think about a river, you know, it's not just a little brook, but a river. A river is powerful and there's a whole lot of water coming through really fast all the time. That's a river. He says, that's the kind of peace I'm going to bring you. A peace that is powerful. A peace that passes understanding. I'm going to bring you a peace that doesn't make sense and it's going to overwhelm you. And at the same time, I'm not only going to bring you a peace that passes all of your understanding. He says, the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. You're going to be overwhelmed by the way the rest of the world looks to you as my people. And I want to tell you, the rest of the world has been watching West Texas. Nations all over the world have been watching to see how we're going to respond, how we're going to react to our circumstances. And I think that we have demonstrated a powerful picture of a powerful people. I think we have shown the world that because of our faith, because of our willingness to work hard and work together, that we're going to get through this thing, and we're not only going to survive, but we're going to thrive again. He says the rest of the world is watching. And in this case, specifically to the nation of Israel, the glory of the nations, like an overflowing stream, the rest of the world is going to bring you glory and honor. He says, you shall be nursed. A nation being nursed? How does that work? Remember, God is showing them a picture. And he says, the picture of a mother nursing her child is the way that I'm going to take care of you. A mother is uniquely equipped to provide for the child's most basic needs. That's part of God's plan. He made it that way so that a mom can provide the most basic needs. And what he says is, I'm going to take care of my people that way. I'm going to provide for you. I'll be there for you to provide your most basic needs. There's a verse in the Sermon on the Mount that is so familiar. You know it by heart, and you and I have learned it and studied it for ever since we were children. And I've preached on it who knows how many times, but all of a sudden, a couple of weeks ago, this verse took on a whole new meaning for me, as I bet it did for you, a whole depth of meaning all of a sudden when he says, don't worry, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What will we wear for clothing? I'm living in somebody else's house. I'm wearing somebody else's clothes. I'm driving somebody else's truck and spending somebody else's money. You know what? God is good. And West is blessed. Don't worry. For many of us, life right now is not what we would choose. It's confusing. It's frustrating. It's so incredibly inconvenient. Don't worry. God has not forgotten us. He's going to see us through. And he's going to provide. We may not have all of the provisions we're used to. Things are not in their right places. Things are missing and may not ever be replaced. God's going to take care of our basic needs. That's the God he is. Don't worry. Saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? The Gentiles, and in this context, he's saying the people without God. I know we use the word differently, but in his context, in this particular sermon, he's saying, the people without God eagerly seek after these things because that's all they have is the things. And without the things, they don't know who they are or where to turn. Beloved, we're more than things. He said, the Gentiles seek after the things, but your heavenly Father knows that you need this stuff. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You keep your focus as a person of God, as a believer, as a person of faith. You keep your focus on Him, and He'll provide the stuff when you need it, as you need it. Trust Him. He can take care of this because He's bigger than all of this. We can trust Him. It's a picture of a mother nursing a child, providing the most basic needs. What do you need today? What do you need? Remember that whatever your need is, Almighty God will speak into your life with that very same voice that He spoke in the storm when He said, "Peace, be still," and even the winds obeyed His voice. Remember, whatever your need is today, that He can touch you with an almighty hand, that very same hand that touched the leper and his body became whole and healthy again. Remember, whatever your need is today, that He can carry that burden for you if you'll trust Him with it. He'll carry it on the very same back that He carried that cross up Calvary's mountain. Remember, whatever your need is today, He's watching. He's watching you with those very same eyes that cried when people were hurting and cried when people were lost. He is compassionate and He loves you. The picture of a mother nursing her child is a picture of how God cares for His kids. No problem is too big for the King, and no problem is too small for the Father. We come to Him as a child and trust Him. It's a beautiful picture, the picture of a mother nursing her child. There's another picture in this text. It's the picture of a mother carrying her child. You see that? It says, as one whom is, the bottom of 12, you shall be nursed, you shall be carried on the hip. Carried on the hip. That's how moms carry kids a lot, right? Right here on the hip, close by. You can keep them close to you, you can take care of them. Now, you know, one of the reasons we carry kids, can we be honest real quick, Mom? One of the reasons that we carry the kid is because they walk too slow. I got to get over yonder. I don't have time for these baby steps all the time. We pick them. Come on, we're going. We do for the child what the child cannot do for him or herself. When a child can't walk, they must be carried. When they start to walk, we carry them because they can't get there quickly enough or efficiently enough. We do for the child what the child cannot do for him or herself. That is the love of God. He does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. It is a misunderstanding when we say God helps those who help themselves. No, God helps those who cannot help themselves. If you can help yourself and you're going to be independent, you're going to do it your way, God's going to let you, so you run into the wall and realize you needed Him. It is when we come to Him and say, I can't, but you can. I'm not God, but you are. I need you. It is then that He picks us up and carries us and does for us what we cannot do for ourselves. It's been so overused for 30 years that we've all gotten tired of it, and I hate to even bring it up, but if you can go back, can you remember the first time, I mean, when it was the first time and it actually hit you, the poem about the footprints in the sand? You know, it's so overused. but there's two sets of footprints, and then when things get tough, there's only one. God, where were you while I was carrying you? It's actually pretty sound theology. That's when he carries us, when we can't carry ourselves, we can't take care of ourselves. I think I shared with you one of the cards in the hallway that was written by one of the children. I think I may have told you about it a couple of weeks ago. One of the children wrote a card that's hanging on the wall in the hallway out there. It said, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's one I would learn if I was you, you know. I thought he got it just about right. That's one I'd learn too if I was you. If you don't know that one, that's one you need to know. I can do all things, not in myself. I can do all things not because I'm a Texan. I can do all things not because I'm from West. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. You see, that's the way it works. This is a picture of mother carrying her child, doing for the child what the child cannot do for him or herself. Matthew chapter 11 is not on the screen. Instead, it's Psalm 55. Let's see. There we go. Let's back up. Did we get Psalm? I got Psalm. Cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Cast your burden on the Lord. He can carry you. And now Matthew 11, he says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Whew. I don't remember ever being as tired as I was the last 2 weeks. Things are better this week. But the 2 weeks, I don't know if I've ever been that tired, that weary, physically, emotionally, spiritually, worn, as we say, plumb out. And yet, every single day, I woke up with renewed strength. Not because of me, but because somebody somewhere was praying. Somebody somewhere has been praying for you and for me. And because of that, God is honoring those prayers, and he's giving us that strength, and he's saying, come on, rest in me, and I'll take care of you. And there is plenty of strength. It's a beautiful picture of a mother carrying her child, doing what the child can't do on his own. But there's also a picture here of a mother bouncing her child on her knee. A great picture. You see that? The last part of 12. You shall be nursed, be carried on the hip, and fondled on the knees. Boy, wasn't that one of the funnest parts of growing up? I mean, or having kids. I mean, wasn't that one of the funnest parts of having kids? Man, you put them on that knee, right? And you say, okay, the little pony went to town, you know, we're going to town, ride the pony. And then as they get a little bit older, you know, you're in a rodeo, and they're bucking that, you know. They're trying to hold on, they be grabbing onto your hair, you don't got no hair to grab onto, it gets kind of scary. Man, bouncing them on you, it's such joy. It's a picture of the Christian life. God says to his people, to the people of Israel, it's going to be like a mama bouncing her baby on her knee. There's joy there. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and you help me. Life more abundant. A full life. A joyful life. Christianity is not about a bunch of rules and a bunch of regulations and bunch of frowny faces and grumpies. Christianity is not a group of idealistic dreamers who don't understand real life. As a matter of fact, that attitude kills churches. That attitude turns away unbelievers, but it thrills our enemy. Remember, this is a life of joy. And so we can learn to say, even in the midst of chaos, we can learn to say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Not rejoice in destruction, not rejoice in pain, not rejoice in sorrow, but rejoice in the Lord. See, there's a difference between trusting in the Lord in spite of our circumstances and trusting in the circumstances around us. Here on Mother's Day, God shows us a picture of a mother bouncing a baby on her knee, and he says, there's joy in life. Rejoice. I'm here for you. It's a great love that he shares with his people. There's another picture. There's another picture in this text. He says, you should be nursed, you should be carried on a hip, you'd be fondled on the knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. The picture of a mother comforting the child. You can receive comfort from a stranger. You can receive comfort from a friend. You can receive comfort from a father. But no one can give comfort like mama. A little girl was in an orphan's home, and it was somebody noticed that she wasn't like the other orphans. She never cried. Never cried. So one of the ladies who worked there at the orphanage went to her and said, why don't you ever cry? The little girl replied, I have no one to cry to since mama died. We depend on mama, don't we, for that comfort. She has a way of doing it that nobody else can do it. They say daddies get worried when their kids break their knee or break their bone. Moms get worried when the kids skin their knee. Kind of a different level there. You know, break a bone, you get dad's attention. Just barely scrape the knee just a little bit. Get a little boo-boo. And you got mama's attention. She's there to comfort. It's a picture of God's work in the lives of his children. It's the way God loves us. Just a little taste of the comfort he provides. There's something kind of unique in this verse, and we're almost done. But I want you to see this because it just jumps out in Hebrew, but you'll never see it in English. He's been saying you'll be nursed like a baby, you'll be carried on the hip like a little toddler. You'll be fondled on the knee like a little older toddler. You see, there's kind of a progression there. Start out with a little bitty baby, then kind of a little bit bigger baby, then a toddler on the knee. And then he says, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. And that word for one literally means man. Man. Adults, God loves you the way mama loves a child. That's the love that he has for us. One whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. In 2 Corinthians, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Comfort, 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 comfort. Over and over and over, you get the point. He did it on purpose. He wrote it that way on purpose. There's an overwhelming comfort from God preparing us to comfort those around us. Now, somebody struggled today because as we talked about mother's love, mother nursing a child, mother bouncing a baby on her knee in happiness, and mother carrying a child and comforted, we talked about all that. All you could think about this morning was, that's not my mama. My mama wasn't that kind of mama. She didn't do those things for me, or she wasn't there for me. Somebody's been thinking already that this doesn't apply because I didn't see those pictures growing up. And if that's you this morning, I want to remind you, Isaiah 49 and 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? We would most likely, most of us would say, no way. Could a mother forget her nursing child? Could a mother have no compassion on the son of her? No way. But what if the answer was yes? Sometimes a mom can forget her kid. By forget, they mean not love. Set aside as if they didn't know. Not have compassion on the child. Sometimes. So what then? Look at the verse. Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. What we've seen in Isaiah is a picture of God's love. He used the pictures of perfect mom's love to show you his even more perfect love. So even if the picture is fuzzy in your life, and the picture's not what it should be, remember the point is God loves you with this overwhelming love. And if you'll trust him, he'll help you put your life back together. If you'll trust him, he can take care of your needs. If you'll trust him, he can provide comfort. If you'll trust him, he can provide joy. That's the kind of God we serve. Father God, we want to thank you for your love for us. We thank you, Lord, that your love never fails. Your love never ends. We're grateful that you are here, a very present help in time of trouble, that you're taking good care of those who trust you. And Lord, today we want to trust you. We depend on you. We need you. Lord, we pray that you'd open our hearts and minds that we might grow closer to you than we've ever been before as we hold on tighter to you than we've ever held before. Thank you for making it possible for us to know you and trust you by sending your own son to die on the cross to pay for our sin. That sin that separated us from you has been paid for, so now we can come home. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each one of us make sure that we're living at home with our Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. We're going to sing together our hymn of invitation this morning. And as we sing, if the Lord would call you to give your life to Christ and really trust Jesus to forgive you of your sin, to give you a new start, that you'd accept the gift that he gave you when he died on Calvary's cross to pay for your sin. You just accept that gift of forgiveness and then enjoy a new free life with him. If you've never accepted Christ, would you come? Today's the day for you to do that. Turn your life over to him and let him take care of you. Maybe you already know the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a Christian, but you also know that you've been living a little too independently. You've been handling things on your own, and you've been reminded in a harsh way of your need for God, and you want to return home. Come home. He's waiting. He wants to welcome. Maybe someone else would say, I feel like God's calling me to join this church. I feel like God's calling me to go into the ministry. Maybe God's calling you into missions. Would you come and share that with us? If you have one of these public decisions to make, come and pray with either Phil or with me. We'll share it with the church. Also, the altar is open. What we mean by that is you can feel free to come and kneel and pray privately. Nobody will touch you. Nobody will bother you. You just come and pray. You're welcome to do that if you feel led.